I'd like to welcome Mr. Quan over here to the afternoon worship service for the River Ridge Church of Christ. Got a few announcements to make before we begin our worship service. Looking around, we still don't have the Gainer children here, so from this morning from being sick, and obviously y'all's out of town, Brother Chuck and Debbie are out. Remember Tim, as he goes out, and Janet, Bennett, as he goes out midweek at California. Wednesday night invitation will be by Brother Keith. Those participating in tonight's worship service, Brother Mark Hason will have the opening prayer. Brother Tony will have the Lord's Supper flow to meet the take of at that time. Brother Andrew will have the song service, and he has selected hymn number 438. It's his first hymn. Over time, Brother Keith will have the lesson this evening, and we'll ask Brother Warren for the closing prayer. As one additional announcement of ours, given to me, it says, thanks so much for your prayers, phone calls, and visits after my surgery. We are so blessed to have a church family like you, Brother Warren Wright, and that will be posted back here in the back. If there's anything else that needs to be announced, let us know. Turn the service over to Brother Andrew.
Number 438, My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is heaven and His love support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Rest in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Before we're led in prayer, let's go to number 40.
Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without Thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need Thy strength to lead myself. Seas leap everywhere about me. be with me then.
Our merciful and all-wise Father, Lord, heaven, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, thanking you for this day of life. We thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have of being your children and the opportunity we have to assemble in this place this afternoon to lift our voices in praise and song to you and to hear your word proclaimed. We pray, Father, that you will be with us as we live our lives out on this planet, this earth, that we will do so with a sense of purpose, a sense of direction that we get from your word, that we will be busy making wise use of the time that you've allotted us for the inevitable time when we must stand at the feet of Jesus and we must give an account of this life. Help us, Father, to be mindful of these things all, each and every day of our lives. Be busy preparing for that. Father, we pray for our children. We pray that we will live our lives in such a way, an example, that they might see Jesus in us and might realize that he is a loving Savior and one that they would like to follow in life. We pray, Father, that we will impress upon their young minds the need for Jesus as they become of age and they need to repent of the sins in their lives and put their trust in Christ and that he will forgive them of their sins. And we might all, Father, have that wonderful hope of gathering around your throne someday. A thought that's indescribable, that words cannot describe the grandeur of where you are, Father. We so desperately want to be in the number who will have the privilege of doing that when this life is over and when Jesus has come and has pronounced the judgment on mankind. We might all have a reunion that will be, Father, in your presence. We're so thankful, Father, for the wonderful hope of eternal life. We are so grateful that while we were yet alien sinners, we were enemies of yours, that you loved us so, and that you were willing to send the very best that you had, that being Jesus. That he was willing to submit to that, to your will, and to die a cruel and agonizing cross, a death upon the cross. Help us, Father, to be humbled by that, to realize that the cost of salvation was beyond measure. What you did for us. Now please, Father, be with us as we go through the further parts of this worship service. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth, Father, for we know that all things must be done in accordance with your will. Help us, Father, that it should be error from the truth, that it might be pointed out, whether it's on an individual basis or as a collective group as we assemble here. We might make the correction, humility, with the sole intent and purpose of serving you while we are in this earth. And we ask you to look down upon us in tender mercy. Please forgive us when we have failed you. Help us, Father, to learn from the mistakes that we make that we might not grieve you anymore in the same way. We ask this in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Let's turn to 444. 444. And I would ask if we can have all three verses sing before jumping into the chorus. So we'll sing all three verses before going to the chorus.
There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. My sins are all his.
This time, let's reflect back upon the cross and sacrifice that was made. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the sacrifice your Son, our Savior, made upon the cross on our behalf. We pray as we partake of this unleavened bread that we will partake of it in a manner that's well pleasing to thee and remember what was done for us on that day. Pray that you bless those who are partaking of it at this time. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the hands of those who... Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we continue to gather around this table in remembrance of your Son, our Savior, the blood that was shed upon that cross of Calvary on our behalf, we pray that those who partake of this fruit of the vine, communion of thy Son's blood, that they will reflect back upon that day, and that they will partake of this cup in a manner well pleasing to thee. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
That concludes the Lord's Supper. The offering plate will be left here for those that did late night store after services this morning.
Be part of Brother Keith's lesson tonight. Let's turn to number 660. Number 660. There is a habitation.
There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who see that grand abode. Oh, Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee.
Invitation song, number 667. Number 667.
Good afternoon. What if I got up here and started off by saying how bad of a week I've had? How bad of a weekend it was, how busy we were. Nothing seemed to go right. Don't really want to be up here. Chuck forced me into doing this. Half the crowd's not here. What would you be thinking right now? Would you kind of have a kind of bad taste in your mouth? Would you be excited to be here? But what if I got up here and said, it's indeed a great pleasure for me to stand before you this afternoon, to be able to take out the Word of God, to be able to read from it, to study it together, to be able to understand it. We have a great privilege of being able to assemble here as children of God, to encourage one another, to edify one another, and to praise the Master and Maker of the universe. How would you feel now? Would you be uplifted? I would be. The first guy would be like, oh, what's the time? When are we going to get out of here? Tonight I want to talk about attitude. I want to talk about how our attitude is important. What is an attitude? Why we should have a good, positive attitude? And what we can do to maintain that. So first off, let's start off by talking about what is an attitude and why is it so important. So if you think of just the definition of an attitude, or attitude, it's a person's prevailing tendency to respond favorable or unfavorably to an object, a person, a group, or an event. It's how we respond to something or some person. And normally when we think about an attitude, we either think of it as a positive attitude or a negative attitude. And if we just break it down to practically, or to a practical standpoint, it's how we think or feel about things. And our attitudes are formed by what we believe to be true about things. So our attitude is expressed in several ways as well. One, it's in our facial expressions. So if I get up here and my shoulders are slumped and, you know, just kind of down, that's kind of giving a negative attitude. But if I got a smile on my face, it means I'm happy to be here, happy to be in front of you, which I am. It's expressed in our tone, our voice, inflection. I think Brother Aaron, when he gets up here, he's got that great inflection. You can tell he's happy. There's no mistaking that Aaron is happy to be up here. It can be expressed in our attitude or expressed in our behavior or lack of it. What we do, how we do things. In the way we perform a task, our attitude comes across. Are we wholeheartedly into it, or is it just something we're doing because someone told us to do it? It can be expressed in the energy we put into something, or in the interest, as we talked before, an interest in a thing or an activity. And most importantly, I think, when we talk about our attitude in our spiritual life, our attitudes will often affect how people perceive what we're saying or doing. So just an example, exactly what I was talking about before, the person at the beginning that came in and said, had a rough week, don't really want to be here. The perception and the way you're perceiving me, you may just turn me off. And that's just like when we're in the world and we tell somebody, oh, it's time for us to go to worship. Is it, yay, we get to go to worship and worship God? Or is it, all right, kids, we got 5 minutes to be there. Get your stuff. Let's go. We got to get to worship. People see that and they perceive our attitudes. And it says a lot. So let's talk about the importance of a positive attitude. And I want to start off by looking at the flip side of it, the negative attitude and the danger of that. Turn with me, if you will, to Numbers chapter 13. Very familiar story. I'm sure that we all know it very, very well. Even the kids probably know this story very well. About the 12 spies that were sent into the land, the promised land, to scope it out, and they were coming back to give a report. So starting in Numbers 13, verse 30, we read, "And then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the man who had gone up with him said," these are the other ten, "'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.'" So here in this story, you have these 12 spies. Two of them came back and gave a very positive report for the nation of Israel. They said, "Let's go, we can overcome it. We can take it," because they knew that God was on their side. The other 10 gave a negative report. "Can't do it, there's no way. They're bigger than us, they'll devour us. We can't do it, they're giants." But we know the people, they didn't heed the two, they heeded the 10. And let's read on in Numbers there, going on into 14, verses 1 through 3. "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?'" So here we see that result of that negative attitude, not trusting God. We see that result. It caused the rest of the nation of Israel to turn against God, to not believe in the power of God. They believed the ten who said they couldn't take the land. And even we go on, Joshua and Caleb even tried to encourage them again, but the people didn't want to hear it. And it eventually led to Israel complaining and rebelling against God. Turn with me over to Deuteronomy. Next book over. Here we'll have Moses speaking. And we'll see the result of what happened here. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 26 to 33. It says, this is Moses speaking to the people, "Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, 'Because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, The people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, Do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, he will fight for you, according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, in all the way that you went, until you came to this place. Yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go, in the fire by the night, and the cloud by the day." Even though the Israelites had seen all these great things happen to them in the wilderness, they still believed these 10 negative reports about the land that God had promised them. Even though they had been witness to the parting of the Red Sea, the destruction of the army of Pharaoh, and they had seen the fire in the sky at night, the cloud by day, the manna from heaven, all these great, wonderful things that God had done for them, they still had this negative attitude turn them away. And we know, we go on to read, that because of their unbelief, they were punished, and they were not able to inherit the land. They were able, their children were, but the people that were of a certain age were not allowed to enter into the land of Canaan because of their attitude. So, by looking at this example, and the Bible's filled with other examples, but when we allow negative attitudes to develop, the problem there, or the danger of it, is we stop believing in God and ourselves and what God has done for us. We stop trying to do what God wants us to do. It's just like the nation of Israel here. God wanted them to go in and take the land. And because they let that negativity creep in, they didn't do what God wanted them to do. And then we also discourage those around us. This is probably one of the most powerful things with the negative attitude, the problem with it. We discourage those people around us. And we fail to reach the goals God has placed before us. So we talked about a negative attitude. Now let's flip it over and look at the importance of having a positive attitude. Let's look at some examples of that. Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Nehemiah. We're going to read chapter 4 here. And this is where it's talking about the rebuilding of the walls. Nehemiah chapter 4, and we'll read one verse here, verse 6. It says, "So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." What's it mean to have a mind to work? Well, I think that we know what it means to have a mind to work, especially when you're in a smaller congregation and you're starting up a work. There's not a lot of people to go around. You have to work, or it's going to fail. And that's what it's talking about here. These people had a mind to work. They had the right positive attitude. They trusted in God. They did what He said, and we can see the results of their labor. They were even able to overcome the ridicule of their enemies. We know earlier in chapter 4 here, it was talking about, I think in verse 3, it says, "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, 'Whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall.'" This guy was making fun of them. He was ridiculing them. Yet these people had a mind to work. They had a mind to accomplish what God wanted them to accomplish. And that's the kind of positive attitude we need to have as Christians and servants of God. We have to have a mind to work. And we know over in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15, the result of this mind to work, it says, "So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. They finished their work. They had a mind to work. They trusted in God, and they completed their task." That's a good positive attitude. That's the same attitude we have. Another example we can have, or we can look at, and there's numerous examples of positive attitudes in the Bible as well. But I think about Joseph and all the things that happened to Joseph. Even though he was hated by his brothers, cast into a pit, sold into slavery, he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, he never let those things get to him. He always put God first, trusted in God, had the right attitude. And we know the result. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, starting in verse 15, we read, "When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him.' So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, 'Before your father died, he commanded, saying, Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke it to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." What a great example of the proper attitude that we are to have in our service to God and to others. Here was a man, even the people, the exact people who did all these things to him, he repaid good for evil. He didn't hold it against them. And it says, because he knew that God had meant it to happen that way. It was God's purpose. It's a great example of a good, positive attitude. So in these two examples, we can see that when we maintain a positive attitude, we will continue to believe in God and our ability to serve Him. We will keep trying to do what God wants us to do, just like Joseph. He kept doing what God wanted him to do, and everything worked together for good. If we have a good, positive attitude, We're an encouragement to those around us, and we overcome those who would discourage us. I don't know if you've ever been around somebody that's kind of a, I hate to use the word, negative Nancy, no offense, but or a Debbie Downer. Debbie's not here, so. But you've been around someone like that. If you ever try to be positive back to them, they usually get angry and they just go away. And I see that at work a lot. There's a lot of negativity at work, and when you try to talk positively to them, they usually just leave you alone. And I think that's important. We can be an encouragement to those around us, and we can overcome those who try to discourage us. And in the end, ultimately, we reach the goals that God has placed before us through that good, positive attitude. And a positive attitude allows us to take on challenges that will help us grow. There may be things that we haven't done before, but we're open to it, and we understand that if I, you know, have a good positive attitude and just try it, that it's going to help me grow as a Christian, grow in my service to God. The first time I ever did a sermon, man, I was scared to death. I never had done it before. Didn't really care for public speaking, but you know, I had the ability to do it and the desire to do it, and I think I had the right attitude to try it. And I know that even people in the crowd have the right attitude as well to know that I may not be the most polished speaker, but at least I'm putting forth the effort, and they appreciate that, and that makes it easier. And I think the more times you have the opportunity to do stuff like that, you will grow and you will become stronger. For us to be pleasing to God, we must have a positive attitude toward Him and His work. Without it, we can't please Him. And with that attitude, God will help us grow and reach our spiritual goals. So now let's look at how we can maintain that positive attitude. Well, the first step in maintaining a positive attitude is you have to choose to be positive. There's one thing that took me a long time to learn in my career. I can't control what other people do. The only thing I can control is myself and how I react to it. And it took me a long time to learn. But once I learned that lesson, it made a huge impact on my life. We can't control or change the circumstances in our life for the most part. Things happen. They're going to happen. But it's how we deal with those. We can control how we react to them. Things may happen. Trials and tribulations come. We can choose to either let them get us down, or we can rejoice in those tribulations that the Bible tells us to do, overcome them, and grow stronger. There's an old saying, and I can't remember who said it. It may be Zig Ziglar. I can't remember. But it says, attitude, not aptitude, controls altitude. I think that's right. But anyway, basically the saying is, my attitude, not how smart I am or how gifted I am, my attitude controls how far I'm going to go. Because I may have all the talent in the world, but if I have the wrong attitude, no one wants to hear me. No one wants to listen to me. My wife she deals with a lot of this stuff in her work, and there are times when I would get a little negative. There are times when I let things get to me, and I complain and grumble. She calls them pity parties. Don't throw pity parties for yourself. Choose to be positive. Let those trials and tribulations come and let them go. God will take care of you. Don't throw pity parties. And always remember, it could be worse. It could always be worse. A guy I work with, when things are bad at work, he's kind of a country guy, and he says, well, it's bad, but it's not as bad as a stick in the eye. And that's what he says, and that's how he kind of goes on, you know. And he's right. It's bad, but it's not as bad as a stick in the eye. Stick in the eye is pretty bad. But our attitude, how we handle situations is what's most important. We can be positive, we can choose to be positive and be an encouragement to those around us, or we can choose to be negative and be a discouragement. So let us always choose to be positive. Now, the Bible tells us and gives us examples of this very thing. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 41, this is talking about the apostles, and they had just been beaten. It says, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. These men had just been beaten, but yet they were rejoicing. It says they were rejoicing, and they were rejoicing they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus. Do we think the same way? Do we rejoice when we suffer shame for Christ? We may not suffer shame. Maybe we're not living the way that we should. Maybe we never get in a situation where we suffer shame. That's a tough one there. To have that. I mean, if you were beaten for serving Christ, would you rejoice in that? That's the attitude we should have. We should be rejoicing that we can serve God and that we can count ourselves worthy to suffer shame for Him. it's completely opposite mindset of what the world thinks. I mean, if you were to beat somebody, they'd probably be angry at you and want to beat you back. But that's not what the Bible tells us. Turn with me, if you will, to James. We just studied this not too long ago in our Bible study, the book of James. We're going to read James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The Bible tells us that we are to count it joy when we fall into various trials. Seems odd, right? Trials, tribulations, you should be joyful about that? We're joyful because we have the proper perspective. You know, no one wants to suffer trials and tribulations. It's difficult. But if you have the proper perspective, the spiritual perspective, and the proper attitude that God is trying to perfect you, to make you stronger, that's what we count a joy. You know, things can be tough and trying, but when you get through them, and your brethren are there to support you, you grow stronger in that connection to one another, you're able to lift one another up, you're able to understand what other people are going through, it makes you stronger. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Again, it says, glory in tribulations. Have the proper attitude. Understand how God is working within you. Understand that He's trying to make you stronger, trying to make you a better servant. Proper attitude will help us understand that. We're going to stay in Romans. Flip over to chapter 12. We can choose to rejoice when times are hard, when we know that hope and prayer can help us to rejoice. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, it reads, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. What a great tool we have in prayer, being able to lay it all on God, all our cares and concerns, all our wants and wishes on God. That will help us to have that proper attitude when we know that hope and prayer can help us to rejoice in these tribulations when times are tough. With the proper understanding, we can maintain that positive attitude despite any external circumstances. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, we read starting in verse 16, reading through the end of the chapter in verse 1, chapter 5, we read, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What a glorious thought. You know, what a great passage to help us have the proper understanding of why we go through the things we do. This life is temporary. There is something much greater coming. An eternal life, not made, an eternal home, not made with hands. When we have that proper perspective, it'll help us to stay positive in our earthly walk here, and how we deal with things on this earth. Another way we can maintain a positive attitude is to block out negativity. Seems simple, right? Block out negativity. How do we do that? How do we block out negativity? Well, this is one of the things I personally need to work on, or have had to work on in the past. We need to avoid negative self-talk. You guys have seen the, I don't even remember what it was, but the guy that's in the mirror and he says, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and people like you. You've seen that? Well, the flip side of that is the negative. I can't do that. It's too hard. I'm not a good public speaker. Can't sing very well. So those are things that are negative talk, that things that'll cause you to have that negative approach to dealing with issues in this life. And I think as I was putting this together, and I told Ella I was going to talk about her, so here goes, Ella. An example just happened this past winter. We went up to the hill there by the New Bergenlochen Dam to go sledding. And all these kids were sledding, having a good old time. Cooper hops on his sled and off he goes. Ella gets on his sled and she's like, can't do it. Not going to do it. Don't want to. And I'm like, Ella, it's so much fun. You'll have a great time. No, not doing it. Not doing it. I just don't. It's scary. I'm not going to do it. And that's that negative self-talk, saying I can't do it. I can't. It's too hard for me. It's too scary. So I got in that sled with her, and I said, come on, we can do it together. I'll help you. So she got in it. Long story short, she's blazing down that hill. This is the greatest time ever. I love it. You know. So if she hadn't taken that step to try that, she would have never experienced the joy that came from that. And I think, although it's a simple story, the meaning can be, you know, I guess the meaning can be brought into kind of our spiritual lives. Don't talk yourself out of trying something. Try it, and if you fail, that's fine. But you'll grow from it. Don't be negative. Don't try to talk yourself out of it. Instead, use positive talk, saying, you know, I get to do the will of the living God. I get to stand before you guys, and I get to open the Bible, and I get to preach just like the apostles used to do. It's what a great blessing, what a great honor it is to do that, you know, to try it. And you'll grow, you know, and you'll try different things. Teaching a class. Maybe you haven't taught a class. There was one time I had never taught a class. So I went in there and tried it. And I'm not saying I'm a great teacher, but I can teach class now. You know, don't let negative talk keep you back from trying to serve God. One of the things that is very difficult for me, and I don't know why, but to go into hospitals and to see people that are sick. I just don't like hospitals. I don't like them. I don't know why. And I don't know what to say. I don't know what, you know, but when you go and you do it, you come away and you feel refreshed and you feel energized because you become renewed more than I think the person does because they're uplifted, you're uplifted, and it's you wonder why you were ever scared of going there in the first place. It's something that, you know, I continually try to work on. And that negative self-talk can sometimes creep in. But we need to constantly remind ourselves of such things as we can do what God wants us to do. If God wants us to do, He wants us to do it, He'll help us do it. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, very familiar verse, very, very strong verse. Chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't say I can do some things. I can do a few things. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, I can give another work example. I was visiting a plant, I think it was up in Ohio. And whenever we go visit suppliers, you know, we walk in, we're the customer, we're the big wigs. And the people tend to get a little nervous when we're there. I kind of like it. But anyway, there's a big conglomerate of us. And we walked up to this lady, and she was running this machine. And the first thing I said, well, don't get nervous. We're just here to see what you're doing. She goes, that's all right. I got Jesus by my side. He'll help me do anything. And it seemed a little corny at the time when she said it, but it's true. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we need to believe that. The Bible tells us the more effort we make, the more results we'll see. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The Bible tells us whatever we sow, we will reap. The more we put into it, the more we're going to get out of it. Now, the Bible tells us that. And our labor, the Bible also tells us our labor will not be in vain. Turn with us over to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15, verse 58. It says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Everything that we do in the Lord is not counted as vain. It will be worth something. And that should help us to block out that negativity and to always be positive thinkers. Just like when we said, hey, maybe I can't go knock on this door, and maybe they won't say anything. Or maybe I knock on the door and I try to introduce myself and try to invite them out to services, and they say no. The Bible tells us that's not in vain. That counts for something. You know, we're trying to serve God. They may say no 100 times, but that's not in vain. So don't ever think that what you're doing is in vain, because you're serving God, and that's what He wants. We can continue to block out negativity, and this is an important one here, by avoiding negative people. We all know negative people. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, evil company corrupts good habits. And if you don't believe that, you're sadly mistaken. This particular point here about negativity, I've lived it, I know. When I graduated college, I moved in with a guy from high school, one of my friends. He was kind of a different fella. He was kind of an introvert, very negative person. Didn't know it at the time. But I lived with him for several years before Carrie and I got married. And she'll tell you, he had an effect on me. I started getting negative. I started, my outlook on things changed. Now, when I moved in, I thought I could change him, but it was the opposite. He brought me down. And I can see that now, but at the time I didn't. And he's still that way today. He's just a negative person. We need to stay away from those quote-unquote toxic people. Their negativity poisons other people around us, and it brings everybody down. You guys know this. Do you like to be around positive people, or do you like to be around negative people? I like to be around positive people. It's one of the reasons why I love coming to church, coming to services, because it builds you up, encourages you. We need to surround ourselves with positive people. And the Bible even tells us that about these people who were encouraging. We talk about Barnabas, the son of encouragement. He's called that in Acts chapter 4, the son of encouragement. Turn over to Acts chapter 11. We're going to read a little bit about Barnabas. Hurry up a little bit. Acts chapter 11, 22-24. It says, "And the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord." I love people like Barnabas, people that encourage you, people that build you up. You guys all know people like that. Hopefully we try to be people like that. They refresh us. They build up our spirits. You know what? I'm not going to lie. Wednesday night services are difficult to make it here. And the reason being, when you have small children, you get them out of school, you got to get them fed, you got to get the homework done, get the lesson, and you got to get them motivated to the door, get them in the car, keep them from fighting, smacking around a little bit. It can be discouraging. But I never leave Wednesday night services feeling discouraged. Once I get here and I'm able to be around brethren, they lift me up, they encourage me. I'm never disappointed when I walk out of Wednesday night services. And that's the way God intended it. That's why He set up the church the way He did. So we need to dwell on those positive things. Focus on what we have and what we have, not what we don't have. We need to focus on what God has done for us, focus on God and what He's done for us. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Those are the things that we need to dwell on to maintain a positive attitude. And I was listening to Brett. I didn't have that verse until this morning when Brett brought it up. I'm like, that's great. Because that is exactly what it's all about. To maintain that positive attitude, we need to dwell on those things. Don't dwell on the negative things. Don't dwell on the trials and tribulations. Focus on those things. Very powerful verse. So with the right self-talk, the right companionships, and focusing on the right things, we can avoid becoming hardened by the sin of negativity. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 13 says, "But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." It's a very, very powerful warning. Sin is deceitful, and we can become hardened by it. And I think a lot of that has to do with maybe this negative spirit, not focusing on things we should, not trusting God the way we should, letting people drag us down. Let's not be that way. Let's do what it says in the first part of the verse, where it says, exhort one another daily while it's called today. Build one another up. Encourage one another. Another way we can maintain a positive attitude is to live in the present with an eye to the future. And this is exemplified in the Apostle Paul. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 12 through 15, it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." You know, I try to think about how hard it would have been for Paul to put aside all the things he had done to the Christians at that time when he was converted and he became a minister for Jesus Christ. You know, he wasn't accepted right off, as we know, because people were like, "Isn't this Saul, the one who was just putting everybody in prison and doing all these bad things to us?" And that could easily cause him to become negative and give up on what he was doing. But he didn't do that. He chose not to dwell on his past mistakes, but to press on into the future. So let's look over at Philippians chapter 3, if we can see that here. Philippians chapter 3, if I can find it, and verses 12 through 14. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul wasn't living in the past, and neither should we. Everybody makes mistakes. We're going to fall short. We're going to sin. But we repent of those, ask for forgiveness, and we move on. Don't let them bring you down. God has promised to forgive us. We know that. Just like Paul. Paul was forgiven. He was converted, and became a great worker for Christ. He looked forward to the go and pressed on to the future. We need to live in the present with an eye to the future, and that's just what Paul did. Reaching forward to the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It was the future glory, and it's the future glory for Paul and for us, that enabled him to endure the present trial. That's that proper perspective I was talking about. Knowing that this life is temporary, and that one day we're going to be able to, if we live faithfully and we serve God the way that he wants to be served, we're going to be able to live eternally with the master and creator of the universe. What a great and awesome thought. Living in the present with an eye on the future to come is what helped Paul maintain a positive attitude, even in the most difficult of times. I mean, this was a guy who went through it all. Beaten, shipwrecked, put in prison multiple times, left for dead, but he was able to put it all aside and not let it get him down and continue to serve God. And we must do the same. So in conclusion, if we go back and think about, we talked about attitude and how our attitude is expressed to those around us. Let us question ourselves, how am I expressing Christianity to others around us with my attitude? How do people perceive my attitude? Do they see me as excited and wanting to serve God? Or do they see me as someone who just does it because that's what I'm expected to do? If it's the latter, then we need to change that, because we're not going to do anybody any good. We need to be excited. We need to be on fire. We need to be zealous about good works. We need to have the proper attitude. We have every reason to be positive in our attitude for our service to God. We know that God is with us. We've already talked about that. And He sent His Son to die for us. He's already paid the ultimate price for us. He's provided us with His Word to guide us. And He's provided us with the avenue of prayer to help us to make our wants and wishes and our trials and tribulations known to Him. And He's given us peace, the peace that passes all understanding. He gave us the church that helps us to encourage one another, to provide an environment to edify and strengthen one another and help us grow spiritually. We know that our labors, as we talked before, our labors will not be in vain. That God notices our labor of love. We read that in our class a couple of weeks ago in Hebrews chapter 6. And then we know that 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's put aside all negative attitudes. Be positive. Let us serve God with a positive attitude, with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts for all He's done for us. The invitation is extended. If you need the prayers of the congregation for any reason or whatever your wanting, wishes, and need, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood.
In the blood.
Power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Wonder-working power
in the blood
of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Saints are lost in this life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power,
wonder-working power
in the blood
of the Lamb.
There is power,
wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Service for Jesus your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power,
wonder working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There is power,
wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
I want to thank everyone who's able to be here this evening. It was a well put together and excellent lesson from Brother Keith. Is there any other announcements that need to be made at this time? If there is not, then we'll be dismissed in prayer.
Our God, the Most High and Heavenly Father, we're indeed thankful for this day and the opportunity we've had to come together to worship You in spirit and truth. and praise you in song. To Heavenly Father, you are the Almighty. Sometimes, Heavenly Father, we get tied up in our lives, circumstances, and as Brother Keith brought us a lesson this evening, that we get lost sometimes in things that aren't, that really don't matter that much to us, Lord. We all should strive each day to do the best we can to live our lives according to your word as you direct. And we're thankful to you for that word. The Heavenly Father, we pray for those of our number who are on the road to travel this evening. Pray you watch over them. Be with us now. Thankful most of all, Lord, for your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He came to this earth to live that perfect example for us and be willing, after teaching us all we need, Lord, to live our lives, to make that perfect sacrifice on the cross for our sin. And we offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.